to worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. But we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light, He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, it's all quiet out there this morning, just two of us that I can see right now here, and enjoying, I need to shut off the music, enjoying the quiet of the morning out there. But good morning to anybody else that might be listening and hasn't said good morning. Good morning to you, Fran. I'll say good morning, and I think I was on cue on time, and here we are, ready to go this morning, looking at the great truths of who we are in Christ. That's what we're going to be, there's Walter, we're going to be looking at, considering that theme for a few more days this week. And what a busy, busy time it has been for me of late, and that's going to continue right on until probably the 18th or 19th of May. I leave on Sunday for South Africa and return the following a week from that Monday, 8 or 9 day trip, and then get back and have things to wrap up at the college, graduation at the college, and just lots going on. So anyway, appreciate your prayers during these busy times. Have a defense hearing this morning for somebody at Lancaster Bible College Capital Seminary. And first thing out of the gate, and so I'll wrap up the broadcast and be out the door again rather abruptly as we head out to, as I head out for that defense hearing. It's a perspective, it's a doctoral defense hearing that it's a little bit of the work that I do, and that's this morning. So not going to Lancaster, but I do have another meeting in another location this morning, so be heading out just as quick as we're done with the broadcast here today. Our identity in Christ. We are talking about what should we help new believers learn? In fact, I like to even use the word disciples, strengthen it, not just new Christians, because, I mean, even the word Christian, especially in the West, has been watered down. In fact, I think maybe in many places it can be watered down. What does it mean to be Christian? Little Christ is what Christian means, follower of Christ, disciple, which means follower, learner, after the rabbi, and the rabbi being Jesus. So to be followers of Jesus. And so Don is here because I'm seeing him say good morning, Fran, Don, Walter, Zara, good morning to you as well. Let's get into some of these great truths that we have about our identity in Christ. And I'll continue a little bit further in the book of Ephesians. And a great study that I can recommend for you is the study of, sorry about the noise of paper in the background there, who you are in Christ. And you, again, you go through, begin at Romans, you begin at Romans and go all the way through the end, at least through 3 John, maybe not into Revelation, but you can go there too. But you're looking at the phrases in Him, in Christ, for Christ, through Christ. And what I like to recommend people do is get a tablet or notebook. In fact, Michael the other day was showing me his pictures of his notes that he's taking doing that study, and that blessed my soul to see that. Somebody else had some notes that they had been sharing as well. And but you go through, and every place that says in Him or in Christ or for Him or for Christ or through Christ, you write down the reference, which is the address where it's located. I recommend writing out the verse because that helps you in learning God's word. And then you provide just a brief summary of what that is saying to you about your identity in Christ. A great 3-part study that, it's not really a 3-part. There are 3 parts to that. The address, write the actual reference, and then write down what you're getting out of that. What does the text say? Not just what you're getting, but what does the text say about who you are in Christ, or what has been done through Christ, or what has been done for Christ? I'll tell you that is a life-altering study in the New Testament, in the epistles. It is absolutely a life-altering study. And it takes some time to work your way through all those, but it changes your life. I have here in front of me that I'm working from a little bit, 100 identity truths for the new Christian. Now, I didn't form this. This comes from Neil Anderson with Freedom in Christ Ministries, but it is 100. It's front and back, 100 truths about who you are in Christ. And that's a little bit of what we're looking at. In fact, I haven't really even gotten to that yet. We've been camped out here in Ephesians. And we left off at verse 15. So I'm going to take us back into Ephesians and at least look at perhaps finishing this chapter, and just to give you kind of the sense of what all you can find there. Down at verse 15, for this reason, what reason? All the things that you read above. Oh, and the Hopkins are joining us there in Orlando, Florida today. Well, bless you. I saw Catherine had a post about that. So, so good morning to all of you as well. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I've kept asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know him better. Now, I want to just underscore something here in verse 17, so that you may know him better. It is not just for theological knowledge, friends. It is for us to know Christ. That is the goal, that we will know Christ and that we will know Christ better. Jesus isn't merely a theological construct. Jesus isn't merely truth. He is a living being, and so we're reminded in John chapter 4 of this very truth. We're reminded that those who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth, because he is spirit. So Paul's prayer here is that they would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you. You want the new believer to know the hope that they have. And then again, Paul, with all these adverbs, underscores the truth, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. He could have just said the inheritance in the saints. He could have just said the riches of the inheritance in the saints, but he doesn't say that. He says the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Friends, to think about what we have is glorious. And then he goes on in verse 19, his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. So he doesn't just say his power. Notice what he says, his incomparably great power. Incomparably being an adverb, great, an adjective. And then power is that verb, power for, I mean, that noun, power. For us who believe, that power is like the working of his, he doesn't just say strength, he says mighty strength. Friends, grab hold of this truth today. To know the hope, back in verse 18, to which he's called you, the glory, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power like the working of his mighty strength. Now listen. That he now describes for us what that power is like. That power which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The very power present at the resurrection of Jesus is the very power present for you today. That incomparably great power for us today. It says he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right, at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And Paul could have backed up and even said, even the one that was behind us. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And you can take that verse 23, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. He fills you. He fills me. He fills us with himself. Such absolutely incredible truths for us to hold on to. Absolutely incredible truths. I mean, if this doesn't get you going today, if this and a cup of coffee doesn't get you going today, I don't know what will. Well, you know, coffee is nothing compared to this great truth. Sustenance is nothing compared to this great truth, or these great truths that we've looked at here already this morning. And to, with the excitement that I am expressing, that you would take another believer or a whole group of believers through these truths. Now, it may not be translated this way in your language. because you may not have these types of words in your language. That's the thing about translation work. You don't always have these words. But to pull out the truth that is still there, for us to think about all these things that have been said to us about all that we have been given in Christ. We have been given so very, very, very much in Christ. It can strengthen, it can fortify, it can encourage, it can inspire, it can undergird, it can lift. Just think of all the things, the great things that this truth can do in your life when you take a hold of it, when you take a hold of this truth and realize that this truth is for you, truth for you to hold on to, truth for you to believe in, truth for you to say, this is true of my life. And today I want to encourage you to say, this truth is true in my life. I'm gonna name it so. Now, sometimes we would say, don't live a name it and claim it theology. Now, often when we say the name it, claim it theology is to name something that you want of earth, of this earth, of the material. But I will tell you, friends, we can name and claim the things that God's very word tells us is true, like these truths here that we're reading about in this text of Scripture. It is God's truth for you. It is God's identity for you and for you to simply open your Bible. I mean, the Bible speaking for itself, friends. The secret of what I do is really no secret. The secret is to simply open the Bible and let the Bible speak for itself. And that's what we're doing this morning, letting the Bible speak for itself, these great, great truths. And so you open up your Bible and you communicate to other people. Maybe it's one-on-one. Maybe it's at a restaurant. Maybe you're meeting somebody for lunch today and you take your Bible and say, this morning we went over these truths, or I went over these truths and I looked at all these things. Let me just share with you. Can I take 5 minutes and share with you just this passage of Scripture that really has me going today? Okay, if you want to begin to approach life like that as a disciple maker. We are not called to only be disciples. We are called also to be disciple makers. So from one end to the other end of Ephesians chapter 1, you see these great riveting truths about who we are in Christ. Well, let's look at chapter 2. And there's some other words, with Christ, or some other words. So let me put those words up there as well, with Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. You were dead. You're no longer dead. It says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work at those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time. We used to live there. We used to live in these ways, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of God's wrath. But listen, but because of his great love for us, God, look at that, his great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive, and here's another phrase, with Christ. He made us alive with Christ. So you write that one down in your book. When we were dead in our transgressions, he didn't make you alive because by your works you did some great thing that entitles you. No, when you were dead in your sins, God made us alive. When you were dead in your transgressions, it's another word for sins, God made us alive. And we have been saved. And look at this, verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. There's this phrase, with him. I didn't even mention that one. God raised us up with Christ. We are seated positionally with him in the heavenly realms. In other words, what does that mean? We have access to all the guardians of heaven. We have access to the influence of heaven. We have access to the God of heaven. We have all these things. Why? Verse 7, and we're going to get to verse 10, and we'll stop this morning. In order that in the coming ages he might show, again, look at this word, the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, God demonstrated incomparable grace. That is what God has done for us. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Sola gratia, sola fide, faith. This not from yourselves, it's God's gift. God has given you the gift to believe in Christ. Not by works, it's not by going to church, it's not by giving money, it's not by serving in an orphanage. Nothing wrong with all those things. Those are all good things, but that does not save. Faith alone saves. So that no one can boast. Now, and I'm going to close on verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Can you say this about yourself today? You can, because it's God's truth for you. I am a handiwork. Can you say that? That's another word for workmanship. I am a handiwork. In fact, go further with that. I am God's handiwork. Believe that truth about yourself today, that you are God's handiwork, that you're created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared for you to do. In other words, God has stuff for you to do. Are you finding that stuff that God has for you to do? He has work for you. He has work for all of us. He has different things for us to do. Maybe yours is planting a church over in Pakistan. Maybe yours is serving families, people and families who are struggling through dementia as you give care in a care facility. That could be it. It could be helping a grandchild. It could be helping a sister or a relative. It could be helping in any number of ways, but how does God want to work through you? You are his workmanship, but it isn't a workmanship that's intended to be placed on a shelf. No, you and I are a workmanship intended to be useful in this world at pointing people to Jesus. That is the type of workmanship that we are created to be. Are you living as that workmanship? Are you living as that person in Christ that he wants you to live as that type of person? Some of the comments here, remembering to pray for our, remembering that our dear friends in Pakistan need our prayers. Absolutely need our prayers. They're in tough times there. I'm reading about things in Kenya. We think about things here in the United States with the tornadoes that have hit. Now, some would say that these tornadoes are in some form of judgment. I think the judgment, if there's judgment, it will fall on Maine with as we consider some of the horrendous things that have happened. As Michael says, as one preaching here, answer the call of God and read him. Awaken him within you through his words to you. We were dead and we have been resurrected. Amen. Preach it. Preach it. And as Michael says, we are clay. Mold us, God, and for God to mold us. He is the potter. We are the clay. That is the way the old song says. That he would change us, that he would modify us, that he would make us into the people he wants us to be. Lord, hear our prayer today. Hear our prayer that we would be made into the people that you want us to be. Living with you, living for you, living as your handiwork. accomplishing the works you've given us to do in Christ. Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray for our friends in Pakistan, for the church there. You know the needs. You know the needs of healing. You know the needs of strength. You know the needs of food. You know the needs of provision. Many things that we do not have the wherewithal to provide. But Lord, hear their prayer, hear their cry, and draw them to you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, have a great day. See you tomorrow. I'm out the door.